Thank you for that. John chapter number 15 this morning. I got to say, twice a year we change the clocks, right? Every single time we change the clock, most of it's automatic, that clock up there is never fixed on the day. I don't know who caught it, but it's right, okay? So I don't, whoever, that's probably Brother Paul, right? He's getting a raise. That's the first time in like 25 years the clock has ever been right on Time Change Sunday. Okay, let's give Brother Paul a hand, okay? All right. The small things in life make me happy. Someone said they're as happy as Bernie Sanders on a trip to the Soviet Union. Anyhow, so I'll throw that out there for you. We are still, I know it's March, we are still talking a little bit about our theme for the year, about being disciples and making disciples. And so we are in, actually the theme verse is John chapter 15, verse 5. And we're going to talk a little bit about that. We're in John chapter 15 this morning. And I want to understand a very important part of that whole being a disciple part. There are a lot of things in life that are just normal parts of life that either enrich our lives or they frustrate us. They can be either good or they can be not good, bad, all right? One of those things are relationships. Relationships. There is nothing better than good relationships in life, whether it's with your mom, your dad, your brothers, sisters, spouses, children, your dog. I would say cat, but nobody in here would be not smart enough to have a cat. Okay? You know what cats are for? Dogs to chase. That's the only thing that they were created for. But any of those can either be tremendous helps in life, or they can be, to be honest with you, problems. They can be encouraging. They can be refreshing. They can be mutually beneficial to both parties. It gets you through the hard times in life. It makes the hard times in life good, and it makes the good times in life great if they are done right. But I've noticed this. Relationships usually settle at the level that we've decided to have them at. Come on. When you look at any relationship in life, wherever that relationship is, it's because somebody has chosen in that relationship to level it there. It could be one partner, but that's where it is. If it's at a low level, we've settled for it. If it's a high level, we have strove for it. So how are your key relationships in life? Well, we're going to look at the key one this morning. As we mentioned before, Jesus is speaking to his disciples probably after the Last Supper, as Jesus is heading to the Garden of Gethsemane, and he is soon to be crucified and put to death. So these are some of the last instructions before he died that he's giving his guys. Now, he's going to give them some instructions when he resurrected from the dead about the gospel and their purpose in life and all of that. But these are some of the last moments, and so he's talking to them about a very important thing in life they need to understand. And he's talking about the vine and the branches. He mentions the three individuals here as we read the verses. First is God, who is the husbandman. He is the owner of the vineyard, the one that runs the vineyard. Then the second is the vine. That's what grows out of the ground from which the fruit really originates from. That is Jesus Christ. And then there's the branches. The branches are connected to the vine, and that's us individual Christians. And we have fruit that's produced in our life. There are things that happen in our life because we are connected to the vine, the Lord Jesus Christ. And there are two things that he wants that he tells us, and we'll look at another one in a message a little bit farther out. But he wants us to abide, and he wants us to bear fruit. The bearing fruit is the outgrowth of the fact that we are abiding in the vine. We are abiding in Jesus Christ. And that's what we're going to look at this morning. Because the most important relationship that you have in this life is your relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. everything that flows out in your life flows out from that relationship in your life. We don't understand that, to be real honest with you. We don't understand how every little thing, every responsibility we have, every relationship we have, everything that's going on in our life is affected by that relationship we have with Jesus Christ. Determines what kind of Christian you are. It determines how the physical relationships in your life goes. It affects what you accomplish in life. And just, you know, you ask someone, how's your life? And it's like, it's good, it's bad. I hope they don't say it's ugly, but you know, it's kind of whatever it is. Whatever you would answer that question in your life, it is because of and a direct outflow of your relationship with Jesus Christ. So how do we have a good relationship with Christ? He calls it fruit, that we can have that in our life. The key word is abide. Abide. What does abide mean? The dictionary would say to remain in a given place, a given state, or a given relationship. To continually dwell, to remain, and to stay. So let's put that together in the context of John chapter 15. For us, abiding means that we remain in a close, enduring relationship with Jesus on a day-by-day basis. Now, if you want to throw it out moment by moment, whatever, okay? But you understand what I'm saying. We remain. We're faithful to. We're not leaving. Committed to that day by day, if you want to say moment by moment, relationship with Jesus Christ. Now, this morning, in the few minutes we have, I want us to look at three important aspects of this abiding. First of all, I want us to notice the direction of abiding. In other words, this relationship with Jesus Christ is no different than any relationship you have with another person. Okay? What do I mean by that? There's two things I want us to understand about the direction of abiding. It is a two-way relationship. Look at verse 4. Jesus says, "Abide in me," and the next three words, "I in you." We abide in him. And he says, well, but wait a minute. I'm also going to abide in you. That's a two-way relationship. Verse 5, "I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth with me," in me, next four verses, "and I in him." You see, this isn't just a one-way relationship. This is a two-way relationship. We are to abide in Jesus Christ, and as we do that, he actively is abiding with us. Some people have problems in a relationship. I just feel like God has forsaken me. God has not forsaken you. I just feel that God doesn't want to be close to me. God wants to be close to you. He said it right there. If you abide in me, I will abide in you. It's a two-way relationship. Think of a young man. He sees a girl, hopefully, and he's like, hey, she's kind of smart. That's never what they say first, right? She's kind of cute. He's hoping she's not smart, because if she is, he is in trouble. And now, I never had this problem in life when I like girls. Brother Machado had this problem all the time. And he'd say, man, I like this girl. She's kind of cute. I'm going to get to know her. And she's like, I don't want to have anything to do with you. I don't know what that's like. Actually, I do. I told a story a long time. When I was in junior high, this girl liked me in the early days of junior high, and I didn't want to have anything to do with her. Fast forward 6 years later, 12th grade, and I'm like, whoa, sister's changed. And I'm thinking 6 years ago, so what's the difference? I'm pretty sure I look better 6 years from then. And guess what happened? She wouldn't have spit on me if I was on fire. She had a really long memory, okay? And I'm like, that thing didn't go anywhere. You know why? It takes two people to have a relationship. And if one says, no way, Jose, or no way, Ray, okay, sorry. Well, Mrs. Pichardo did, but you were more of a missionary project, right? If she says, no way, I don't want to have a part of it, it's going nowhere. Yep. It's a two-way relationship. Abide in me and I'll abide with you. Now, let me ask you this question. Do you think Jesus would reject us? No. He's commanding us to abide in him. And if he's commanding us to abide in him and he says that he'll abide in us, then if there's a disconnect, where is it coming from? It's us. By the way, that ought to encourage you, that God wants to have a relationship with you. John, in James chapter 4, I think it's verse 6, he says, draw nigh to God, get close, and he will draw nigh to you. God says, if you're trying to get close to me, I'm going to get close to you. Because he wants us to abide, and he says, if you're trying, see, it's not sometimes, well, I'm trying to be close to God, it's just hard. No, it's not. God responds when we make any type of effort to get close to him. Yep. Because God wants to be close with you. And so if there's an issue there, it's not on God's part, it's on our part. It may be we have a wrong way of thinking about it. It may be that we're not putting in the effort that we need to put into it. But God wants to have a relationship. It's a two-way relationship that results. It's in a two-way result. Verse 5. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. Amen. You know what he says? If we're abiding in him, he'll abide in us. And we will have fruit in our life. Now, in a subsequent message, we'll look at some of the fruit. But the fruit is God working in our life. By the way, we'll grow. We'll start adapting to the qualities that the Bible talks to us about because God develops that in us. Yes, sir. See, he develops the fruit in our life. By the way, God wants us to have fruit. And if you're a Christian, it ought to be inevitable and it ought to be abundant. There ought to be things happening in your life. There ought to be changes taking place. There ought to be things going on in your life that say very distinctly, I'm a Christian that is abiding in Jesus Christ. It's natural. Look, and if you plant something in the ground and it's healthy and you're taking care of it and it's growing naturally, it will produce fruit. It will. Whether it's a orange tree. Well, is avocado a fruit? Is it? It's good. Okay, thank you for sharing. Pizza is good too, but it's not a fruit. I should be. If it has seeds, it's fruit, right? So it's fruit. One of the worst fruit in the world. I don't like avocados. Stop it. Just stop it. Really, get over yourselves this morning. I didn't take that extra hour away from you. Don't take it out on me. But at our house on El Cedro, they're always like, we have an avocado tree and I hate avocado. And everybody's like, I'll come take it. I'm like, you know where the tree is? Just climb the fence. And no one ever did. But you know what? Because the tree was, I remember one time I got out there, I was doing the lawn in the backyard and I stood under the tree and the branches were everywhere. And I'm like, they were so full and they were everywhere. It's like, man, they're going to start falling off and, you know, beating, killing the grandkids or whatever. And I started cutting branches off here. But you know what? Because it was healthy, it was producing, okay, avocados. That, by the way, shouldn't that, now we had, when we moved in, we had another tree. It was a plum tree. You say you go to that house now, there's no plum tree there. You know why? It died. It wasn't producing anything. So we got rid of it, dug it out, and boom. But if you planted a tree and it was healthy and everything was right, good soil, good dirt, and it wasn't producing fruit, you'd say, man, what's wrong here? Right? That's what he's saying here. He's saying, listen, you ought to be producing fruit in your life. There ought to be things going on in your life that say, I'm a Christian. God's doing something in my life. And by the way, you don't need to work it up. Now, I'm not saying you don't have responsibility to seek to do what the Bible says, but you can strive to do what the Bible says, but if you're not abiding with Christ, it's not going to happen. Because you don't have that life-giving power from Jesus Christ to have it happen. But if you're abiding in him, it will naturally happen. So it's a two-way relationship, and it's a two-way result. That's the direction. Secondly, I want you to see there's some difficulties when we don't abide. There's a difficulties. He mentions some of the branches that aren't doing very well. And he mentions what happens to them. Look at verse 4. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in vine. Look at those four words, verse 4. No more can ye, except you abide in the vine. You know what some of the difficulties are? First, you're going to have some frustrated effort. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself. If a branch is severed from the tree and you throw it to the side, come on, produce fruit, it's not going to happen. Right? When I went back there that time and the tree was out of control, I hadn't touched it in years. And I'm like, anything I could reach, I got a ladder and I got the little, and anything I could reach, I just hacked it. And even when I was done, it was still pretty full. And it was all out. You know those branches I hacked? They weren't going to produce fruit anymore. In fact, we threw them away. Now, if I would have said, I'm just going to take that branch indoors, and I'm going to wait for the fruit to grow, that way I don't have to go outside and climb the tree to get it, that would be foolish. And he says the same thing about us bearing fruit in our life if we're not connected to him. He says, no more can ye. That's just frustrating. It's like, it's not possible. How often do we get frustrated because we're not abiding? You can come to church. And I think you should come to church. And to be honest with you, I think you ought to come to church more than just on Sunday morning if you want to get help. But you ought to come to church. And I think you ought to have a Bible. Okay? You ought to carry a Bible. You ought to have a Bible with you. But you can come to church. You can carry a Bible. You can do all the things that Christians are supposed to do. When the offering plate comes by, you can drop money in it. You can do all of that stuff and still be frustrated about what's going on in your life as a Christian. You know why? Because you're not connected to the vine. It's not coming. By the way, you're not going to be connected to the vine if you don't come to church. I guarantee you that. Been doing this long enough to see that doesn't work. Okay, you can carry a Bible, but if you're not reading it, you're not going to be connected to the vine. It's frustrating. I'm trying to make this work. I'm trying to live the Christian life, and I'm trying to be the type of Christian God wants, and it's just not working. I'm frustrated. The average church member, and this is probably a couple years old, they say last 7 years, and then they fall away from church. I wonder if that's even in Christianity. Not just our church. I wonder if that's even a little bit high now, Pastor Pichardo. Why do they fall away? You know why? They get frustrated because they're not abiding. They're doing the stuff, but they're not connected to the vine. And if you're trying to do the stuff without being connected to the vine, you're not going to be able to do the stuff, and it's not going to produce anything. We get frustrated. There's fruitless effort. Look at verse 5. He just lays it out here. Here we go. For without me, you can do nothing. Nothing. I thought I can do something, not of any eternal value. I was in Bible college, and it was a guy I knew. My wife knew him. And he could fill a bus. We run buses here, if you're new. We go into areas of our city where it's primarily teenagers and children and some adults that maybe would not have a ride or a way to church, and we pick them up and bring them to church. This guy could fill a bus four times over. He just had the personality. And I wondered if he was even a Christian, to be real honest with you. Some of the things he did, I'm like, I don't even know if you're saved. Okay. his business thing was going on, and it was just something real fishy with it. I'm sorry. Just because he filled a bus doesn't mean he was helping people spiritually. So you may be able to fill a bus, we may be able to, but if we're not connected, we can't do anything. You know what nothing is? Okay, here we go. Zero. You saw zero times one. Okay, zero times one. Zero. Zero times negative 500 million. It's nothing. Oh, but you can do a little. No, he says you can't do anything. Oh, you may fake it for a while, but it's not genuine. It's not real. It's not gonna last. Why? Because we're not connected to the vine. Do you know how much effort it takes to do something without energy, without power? Right? I used to, back when I was, we helped start a church in Florida, and I was a maintenance crew. I oversaw a maintenance crew at a Sears in Tampa, and they do vacuuming, you know, and they had these really long cords in the vacuum, so they didn't have to go plug it in all the time. So they would be like way over on the other side of the store, and I would just unplug their vacuum and walk away. They're like, what's wrong? This thing isn't working anymore. And it wasn't like they walked from here. I mean, they had to walk a long way to unplug. You say, why'd you do that? Because it was fun. Okay. They could do that vacuum. They looked, did it break? What's going on here? It had no energy. It was doing nothing. That's what we're trying to do. We're trying to get effort. Jesus says, you can't do anything without me. It's fruitless. Nothing is going to grow. It's failing effort. Verse 6, if a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered. And men gather them and cast them into the fire that they are burned. Now notice the words here. When something isn't growing, they get rid of the branch. Now by the way, let me just say this. That doesn't mean you lose your salvation. Jesus said, I am the vine and ye are the branches. You're saved. By the way, that's all throughout the Bible. Once saved, always saved. Okay? But what he's saying is, you're disconnected from me, and you're not accomplishing anything. You're just in the way. It's kind of scary if you think about it. And look what he says. He's cast forth to let go, throw away. Just throw it wherever it falls. Wither to become dry and waste away. Burned, consumed. What's he saying here? If you are not connected to the vine, you're going to be disconnected and nothing good's going to come of it. You'll just land wherever you land. And instead of having fruit, you will now suffer consequences. Remember, I don't remember how it was, but when I was a little child, there was a show, a game show called Truth or Consequences. It's like you choose something and if it went well, you know, you won the refrigerator. If it didn't go well, you suffered the consequences. That's what happens here. If you don't want the fruit, you don't want to be connected to the vine, you're going to suffer the consequences. Failing, just not happening. It's very, very sad if you study it, that the statistics of drama and problems in the lives of individuals, for those people who actually say they're Christians, and I understand people that say they're Christian aren't always a Christian, but their statistics are pretty close to being the same, Christians and non-Christians. What does that tell you? Number one, a lot of people say they're Christians, they're not. But number two, there's a lot of Christians that are just disconnected. And they suffer. You know what the shame of it is? I don't want to suffer the same things that I would suffer if I didn't know Christ when I do know Christ. Does that make sense to you? I mean, if he's offering a better way, I'll take that. Right? I mean, you know, if you want to, if here's a rocky road, not the ice cream, calm down, and here's a smooth road. It's lunchtime, I get it. But I'd rather take the smooth road. We were taking a GPS to this church when we were in Washington one time, and the GPS took us, it was in the middle of a farm, this little small church, and we're taking this thing, and we took this road, and the road dead-ended. But the GPS said, go straight. I'm like, it's not happening. What had happened, the rain had came and part of the mountain fell down and ruined the road. So I had to kind of figure it out and go a different direction. That was a bad road to take. There was a better road to get there. You know what we do as Christians? We purposely take the wrong road. We don't have to. Failing effort. Now, so how do I abide in Christ? Well, let me give you the details for abiding and we'll be done. There's three things for going to abide in Christ. And by the way, let me say this. It is a choice. Your choice. Oh, no, no, no. I would be a Christian, but I grew up in this family, and they're dysfunctional. I grew up in a dysfunctional family. And you know what? I'm now raising a dysfunctional family. We're all dysfunctional. Come on, man. So you're the pastor. You have a perfect family. Come stay the weekend. Okay? It's just when you live with people, you live with people. But my family, or I went to this church and I had a bad experience at the church. That's one church. I knew this Christian guy. I knew this Christian gal. And they did this. And I said, if they're Christians, that's not what I want. That's them. That's not you. Hey, don't let any church, don't let any person, don't let any relative push you away from doing what Jesus wants you to do. Because it's not about them. It's about you and him. Okay? Bypass. And by the way, that person, they just see, they're not getting away with anything. They're probably not abiding. Get away from them. They're pruned. They threw where they go. But how do you abide? First, we have to abide in his worship. I want you to read verse 5, 4, 5, and 7. I want you to notice all these words. Ready? Verse 4, abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. Verse 5, I am the vine, ye the branches. He that abideth in me. Verse 7, if ye abide in me, and my words abide. It's all over the place. He says, I'm not a brain surgeon, but I'm pretty sure if I'm reading this, he wants us to do it. Yeah. He didn't, you know, it's like sometimes like the kids write a report, 500 words, so they just add stuff. You know, like, it was a really, really, really good book. I so enjoyed it so much. Okay, good for you, okay. You know, God didn't have, I gotta have so many words in the Bible. Man, I gotta have, so let me just add abide 17 times. No, maybe he just wants us to abide. You know, we're dense, right? Are you with me? Abide, abide, abide. That's worshiping him. That's spending time with him. He expects us. See, when we got saved, it made our relationship with Jesus eternal. That's the length of it. But when we abide with him, it makes it fruitful. That's how it works on this earth. He wants us, look, please don't miss out on what he's offering you. Don't do it. Don't settle for something less. Well, here, you can have $100, you can have $5. I want $105. I want all of it. I'm going to take the best. I'm not going to say, oh, sorry, I don't want to take the 100. That's bad. Give me five. What are you, crazy? You know, I want pizza or steak. What do you want? Okay, I want steak with pizza with steak on it, but I'll take the steak. You know, Domino's, that's not pizza. You might as well eat the cardboard box it comes in. I want the best, and I can have it if I will spend time with him. Let me ask you a question. Do you abide in Christ? Are you spending time with him? Is that relationship with him vital and important? Is it something you work on? Not just saying the word Jesus. I mean, he's important to you. So we abide. Everything comes from that. Next, we must abide in his words. Verse 7, if you abide in me and my words abide in you. By the way, his word is very important. That tells us everything we need to know about our relationship with him. It tells us everything we need to know about everything that's spiritual. But we must spend time in his words. If you don't have a relationship with the Bible, you are not abiding in Christ. Well, I have a Bible. I pick it up every Sunday and I bring it to church. Wonderful. Crack it open. Come on. Get to know what it's saying. Yeah. Learn it. Do you own a Bible? Now, if you're doing, you say, I don't own a Bible. Look, go talk to your Sunday school rich teacher. He's filthy rich. He'll buy you one. He'll buy you one of those like $125 Bibles. Unless you're in my Sunday school class. Then go see Brother Rawl. He'll take care of you. We'll get you a Bible. Do you read your Bible? Oh, yeah. We get up and say, turn to John chapter 15. I'll read the even verses. You read the odd. That's wonderful. But do you read it on your own? Do you even know what it says? By the way, that comes with time. If you're new, don't feel bad about it. You grow in that. Okay? By the way, I've been reading it now for a lot of years, and I still read stuff like, wow, I didn't catch that the first 75 times I read it, huh? Okay, there's so much in there. But you know what? I know a lot more now than I knew then. Okay? Do you learn the Bible? Be in more church services. Go to your Bible. We didn't have Sunday school class this morning, but adults, go to your adult Bible class. Get to know some godly Christians. You can learn from them and learn from your Sunday school teacher. Be a part of what's going on here. We have our Bible Institute. Jump in, okay? We'll have a myriad of classes, just different categories. And then lastly, we have to abide in His will. He says, if my words abide in you, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, now it's very interesting, ye shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Wow. Can I get a witness there? He says, just ask for whatever you want, and I'll give it to you. Now you say, well, wait a minute. How does that work? Because if we're in His word, we will follow His will. And when we follow His will, we'll pray and want the things that He wants. And whenever we pray and want the things that He wants, He gives it to us. Well, I just want to pray for whatever I want. Then you're not in His word because you didn't learn that in His word. But we follow His will. As we are in His word, we start to understand what is important to God. Look, if you have children, what do you do? You do things for your children that they're interested in. Don't be offended by this, but if you are, it's okay. I'm not taking my boys to a WNBA game. They're not interested. And if you like the WNBA, okay, that's fine. Okay, now Josiah and I went to a Clippers game this year. Okay, stop, I'm a Lakers fan. Look, let me explain how this works and we'll move on to the message. When someone gives you tickets, you take them. Okay? Stop it. They didn't give us Lakers tickets. Okay? My boys, they like hockey. Look, they offered me one time, hey, Dad, you want to go to a soccer match? And I'm like, no. You don't even like soccer, but someone gave me tickets. I know, I'll go watch the grass grow. But, you know, I know what they're in. I'm not telling the girls, hey, girls, we're going to go to a football game. They could care less. Now, if I say, let's go to the mall, it's like, I got the keys, let's go. Okay? What do? We want to be in on the things they're interested in. You know, when we're in the Bible, you know what we find out? We find out what God's interested in. Come on. We find out what God's interested in, and we follow that in our lives. Even when we pray, we'll pray for the right things, and God will give it to us. Why? Because we're following His will. That's right. Now, I said a lot of stuff this morning. I hope you remember the good things, okay? What am I saying? Let's have a relationship with Him. It all goes back to abiding. What's going on in your life? Well, thanks for that testimony. I'm encouraged. Okay. We allow everybody in this church. We're kind of rethinking that, so pray for us. What's going on in your life? I already got that. Thanks. You say, you know what? I'm a new Christian, but... And you understand what I'm saying. I'm starting to feel it. It's starting to work, and things are happening in my life, and I'm learning some things, and keep going. You're abiding. Yeah. Well, I've been a Christian for 12 years, and I can remember back when God was doing things in my life, and it just seems like nothing's happening. Did you disattach yourself? Yep. Reattach. Yep. Now, thank God we can always get reconnected. Amen? Yep. But I'm just saying, if you want to have the kind of life, if you want God to do things through your life, you've got to abide in Him. Get in His word. Follow His will. Make Jesus the most important person in this world to you. My grandkids even understand that. I'll pull them in. Like, hey, the little ones don't know. I just teach them Grandpa. Selah. Hey, Selah, who do you love? Papa. That's right. She doesn't know any other word, right? I'll ask Jay. Hey, Annie, who do you love? Who do you love more than anybody in the world? Now, she knows Christmas is coming. But she'll say, Jesus. I'm like, okay, stop being spiritual. We know that you love Jesus. I'm talking about physically on this earth. Grandpa. I'm like, right. Christmas will be good this year. Okay? But you know what? Jesus ought to be the most important person to us in this world. That ought to be everything. We ought to be connected to Him. So I want to be a disciple. You say, we haven't talked about making disciples. We can't help people unless we're being helped ourselves. And I hope that you're growing in your faith. Let's stand together this morning if we could, just for a minute.